It's time for our weekly segment with John Machota of The Athletic.
All right, here we go. This 5 o'clock hour. Hope you've had a pretty good day. Hope you've had a great day, and hope you have a really good day still to come. We're now joined by John Machota, covers the Cowboys, The Athletic. John, it just seemed like all of a sudden you turn around and the Cowboys are battling some of the things that the teams that they've played have battled, some big names, and then all of a sudden there's a war of attrition going on with Collins and Smith and whoever else, and Crawford, he's out. I mean, is this kind of just all of a sudden just like slammed them in their face?
It has, and it seems like it's all coming at the worst possible time, considering what the expectations were coming into this season and the way they started this season. I will say, though, with all of that mixed in as well, though, I still don't see how this team should be falling 21-3 down to the Jets and then losing to the Jets. And now you're going into this game 3-3, and even though they're favored in Vegas, it certainly just you got the feeling that things aren't going in a good direction. And then behind the scenes, it's not any different all season long. It's been the exact same way, whether it be practice, the way the players have responded to questions about what's going on, what's wrong with them, Jason Garrett. Everything's the exact same. There's no changes, and I'm sure you can make the argument that there's some good things about that. But it just, I don't know, you just don't have a good feeling because it doesn't just, you're just kind of sitting there wondering, well, what's going to be the spark that turns this thing around? Will they have a game? Like, is Sunday night the game where they all of a sudden cause a bunch of turnovers and they give the offense a bunch of short fields to add some points? I mean, sure, it's possible, but I just don't see how you can predict that right now off of the sample that we've watched these first six games.
John, isn't that, you said that, there could be good things about it being the same, but isn't maybe the fact that it's the same all the time the reason that they at least have to think about making a change at head coach?
I mean, I'm a guy coming from Detroit, and I just remember those Rod Marinelli years as head coach, and he didn't want to change a lot, and he said the same exact stuff week after week when they went 0-16, and it was to the point where you're like, I know this is your philosophy, but at some point you might need to just do something to kind of spark the group, and I just don't see that that's going to happen at all with Jason Garrett. He just is not the type of person to all of a sudden do something different. And because of that, that could be the thing that ultimately costs him his job, is that, when stuff has gone wrong in the middle of the season, it's been hard for them to recover and bounce back. I mean, Jason Garrett has coached them to some bounce back performances in some, unlikely situations, be it Romo going down at the beginning of the year in 2016, and then, they come back and they have this great season led by a couple of rookies in Dak and Zeke. But then you come back the following year, and it's just like it's been one up, one down, one up, one down, and it's just like nothing seems to go as planned. And so, if they don't make the playoffs, if this thing keeps rolling the way it is, then, I don't see him coming back. But I will say I don't think that Jerry parts ways with him in the middle of the season. I know that's a hot topic right now. And it'll be even hotter if they lose on Sunday night and they go into the bye at 3-4. I still don't think that Jerry pulls the trigger in the middle of the season. I think Jason has till the end of the season to coach this thing out. And then in the off season, if he hasn't, depending on how the season finishes out, if he hasn't met their expectation, then that's when they'll go in another direction. But I don't see them making a change midseason like they did with Wade Phillips.
Yeah, wouldn't the wheels just have to fall straight off of this thing? Like just a tailspin for that to happen.
Yeah, it absolutely would. And I just don't get that sense from the players that they would allow that to happen. Whether, I'm not saying they're fed up with Jason Garrett, because I have not gotten that, I've not got that feeling at all. It's obviously the fans are the ones that have wanted him gone for years, and that's where you get that feeling from. But on the inside, I don't get that feeling from the players in the locker room. And so I think that when the players are kind of done with a coach and they know the coach is a lame duck and they want to just kind of cash it in, then that's kind of when they turn. But I don't get that from this group that's going to happen. I really don't. Now, if things keep going in a bad direction 3-4 weeks from now, yeah, potentially that happens. But I just don't get that sense from this team right now. I feel like it's more of a bunch. It's kind of like waiting for something to happen, waiting for some type of a big play to happen and kind of spark this group to just get back, to the winning ways they started the season with. And it's kind of like everyone's looking around like for someone to make this big spark and turn the momentum. And it isn't happening.
Would a team who has quit on their coach come back from 31-3 and 21-3 down and have a chance?
Yeah, probably not. That's my thing, that's what the Steven and Jerry Jones will always tell you is that the team has always played hard for him. They've never quit on Jason since he's been head coach, and I really feel like you could make a case that's his greatest strength as a head coach is that his players play for him, and he is a player's coach. And so because of that, that's just another reason. I just don't see that happen. I don't see them just going out there and just, you know, getting blown out, you know, for the rest of the season and not looking like they're even trying. I don't think it's because of Jason Garrett, and I don't think it's because the players will allow that to happen. I think especially leading with Dak Prescott, Jason Witten, those guys across the offensive line, I just don't think that the players will allow that.
Do you think that they can beat the Eagles if all these guys who are not practicing, if all of them are out, how can they reasonably beat the Eagles?
Well, one of the reasons is because they're pretty banged up, too. I mean, you know, it's looking like they might not have DeSean Jackson. I know Fletcher Cox didn't practice today. You know, they're missing, you know, guys along Jason Peters, guys along their offensive line. They're not 100% healthy by no means either, and they've had their shares of struggles. I mean, really, the only game, you know, where they looked to be the team we thought they would be coming into the season was really that Thursday night game against the Packers. But other than that, they haven't really looked the part either. So because of that, I think it's possible. And the other thing is, too, is that there's the law of averages that they're just – I mean, being the only team in the NFL, the Cowboys are the only team in the NFL that has not started a drive on the other side of the 50-yard line because, one, they don't get big special teams returns, and then, two, because they don't get the turnovers on defense that lead to a short field. Like even on the Jordan Lewis interception, it's still you have a long field to go to score, and they weren't able to get any points off of that when Maher missed the field goal. So the way I see it, if we're talking next week at this time and the Cowboys have won that game, I think the reason will be because they had some things that broke their way. You know, a game where, you know, they finally have two or three turnovers and their offense gets some short fields early on and gets sparked and plays their best game of the season. But nothing short of playing their best game of the season will get them a win. If they play like they have the last 3 weeks, then they'll go in the bye 3-4.
Yeah, it's obviously Robert Quinn has been their best pass rusher. Is that because they're doing everything they can, chipping and doubling, whatever, with DeMarcus Lawrence?
A lot of times that's the case. I mean, when you get a chance to watch the game over on the All-22 film where you get a little bit better view of it than on the TV copy, you definitely see a lot more extra attention to Lawrence, and especially with the, you know, a tight end helping out over there as well. Sometimes even on some plays you'll get a third guy, whether it be a back out of the backfield, kind of chipping him as well. So there's that, but then there's also that he's just not 100%. I mean, he's dealing with several different injuries, and because of that, they're trying to, you know, kind of limit him during the week so that they can get the most out of him possible on Sundays. But, yeah, he's just not completely healthy. Now, I will say this. He's dealt with a shoulder injury the last few years, and he's played outstanding. So he's obviously a guy that's familiar and used to playing with some injuries. I just think he has several different ones. And he knew coming into this season, you know, he had said this back when he signed the contract, that he knew what was coming. He knew what kind of attention he was going to be getting going forward. I'm just surprised it hasn't kind of calmed a little bit because, as you mentioned, Robert Quinn being the player that he's been, not just with the sacks but just the QB pressures too, has been outstanding from on the right-end spot. So, you know, with that, you'd think that eventually the stuff would start to turn, and then, you know, maybe Lawrence has a game, and maybe it is this Eagles game. Maybe he has a breakout game where he has a couple of sacks, and that's what propels them. But, yeah, there's just, like, a lot of things like that that I just feel like, specifically on the defense, that if they can just do something over there to just spark something, I think the offense will take care of itself. I really do. Now, they need to score early in games, but maybe they get an early score because the defense does something for them to get that going. But, yeah, I mean, they just haven't had that.
Yeah. The offense is better than it was last year. I don't think there's a doubt about that. And they're getting more of the blame than the defense is. And the defense is worse so far. I'm kind of surprised that people aren't more on the defense than they are on the offense.
You know what I think? The reason why I think that is, because I've had those same thoughts. The reason I think that is because we're so used to watching the Cowboys, particularly since Jason Garrett's been the head coach, of being so offensive first, whether it be what they do in the drafts, free agency, the way the team has been built, with Romo as quarterback up through the Dak Zeke era. It's been also offensive heavy first. You think back to that 2014 season. I mean, the leader in sacks on the team was Jeremy Mincy. I mean, they were a patchwork group on defense, but it's slowly been building. And so this year, there's no more excuses. The defense is supposed to be elite this year. They've been building towards this. They are good at all three levels. They have playmakers at all three levels. Now, they're not getting much on the back end. You know, Xavier Woods isn't been the guy that we saw in training camp. But Byron Jones isn't picking off passes. Chidobe Awuzie hasn't played well. And then the linebackers, which we came into the season thinking that was going to be maybe their strongest group on the team, they have underperformed. So they don't deserve to get a pass, especially when you add a guy like Robert Quinn, and he's actually living up to the expectations. You know, that the defense shouldn't be getting a pass. I mean, they're the reason that they're in this hole, if you ask me. The offense can do a lot better, don't get me wrong. But the offense shouldn't have to carry it, this team, not with what they've added on defense. This defense now is to the point where they should be able to win some games on their own, and that just hasn't come close to happening.
Man, I that's wonderful how you said that, because I completely agree with you. I do think that sometimes there's a rush to getting someone to the next level, or Leighton Vander Esch was really good, and that doesn't mean he still won't be this year and won't make a big play on Sunday, but it's almost as if those two guys have just leveled out, at least, you know. In fact, the game against the Saints, was it the Saints or the Saints when Leighton Vander Esch somehow finished with 9 tackles, but constantly over pursued or just took bad angles in that game?
No. Absolutely. It was that Saints game. And that's funny you bring up, because that's another one that, you know, I was talking about with somebody recently. And it makes me wonder, is that because Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback? What if Teddy Bridgewater isn't there and Drew Brees is the quarterback? Then they don't even have that game to hang around. Because I will say the defense in that game looked the closest as we saw the year before, where it was like, hey, this defense might be able to win them a game like they did at times last year. But this year there hasn't been anything close. Jalen Smith will say that they're 2-4 against their standard, their defensive standard. And I would argue that they're probably 1-5.
Yeah, I agree. I started hearing little things that, you know, Chido Awuzie was probably a Pro Bowl talent, and I mean let's see some, you know, skins in the wall, you know, over time. But I agree. They have been disappointing. And then the turnover issue has just been what are the three things that Tampa 2 does? They make you drive the length of the field. Mm-hmm. They create turnovers.
Yeah, and they get sacks.
And, you know, they're failing in a lot of those different ways. John, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
John Machota, athletic, theathletic.com.